first to Haiti. Haitians are wearing white in mourning, and we're listening to a choir leading a processional into Mass. This afternoon, there will be a moment of silence at 4:53 p.m. local time to mark the magnitude 7 earthquake that hit a year ago. As Haitians question why the rebuilding is so slow, the BBC's Hugh Williams is in Port-au-Prince. What are people there saying?
This collapsed Roman Catholic cathedral was one of the iconic sites in the immediate aftermath of the earthquake. I'm sure you can hear the convoys of vehicles as the great and the good leave at the ending of the Mass behind me. But the church here, I'm sure you've seen dramatic newspaper and television pictures of the outside walls of the building still standing, but the roof of the nave completely collapsed in on itself. And perhaps most poignantly of all, the giant crucifix, the figure of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross at the front of the cathedral here, which survived the earthquake. And it has become for many a focus for their mourning and their commemoration. So for the past few days, whenever I've come past this cathedral, there've been small groups holding informal services of commemoration and worship. But the event that's been taking place this afternoon here is on a much grander scale, as you can hear from the crowds going past as it comes to an end. There have been many hundreds, perhaps as many as 2,000 people standing in the sunshine of a Haitian afternoon, praying their prayers and singing their hymns of praise.
Well, are they also asking questions? Because, and is there any simple answer as to why a year on, not just that a church might still be collapsed, but that so many people are living in temporary shelter, that there are still people struggling to find food and clean water, toilets.
President Bill Clinton, who of course has been absolutely crucial in coordinating the international response to this disaster, has spoken of his frustration at the slow progress. The Haitian government says it's frustrated at how little it's been able to achieve. If you talk to charities and NGOs, non-governmental organizations, they'll tell you they're frustrated. And of course, if you talk to ordinary Haitian people, they share that frustration and that anger. One statistic that sums this up for me is that I've been told in the past year since the earthquake happened, just 5% of the rubble from collapsed buildings in the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince, has been cleared from the streets. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing's being done. What I think it means is a bit more complicated. It means that the charities, the NGOs, the government itself, international aid organisations, are still in emergency response mode. They haven't been able, even after a year, to begin anything like reconstruction and rebuilding.
Well, there have been successes. Paul Farmer's Partners in Health has greatly expanded their medical services. But you mentioned the government. The election in November, widely denounced as fraudulent, rigged to favor the candidate favored by President René Préval. There were riots after that election. So obviously, you know, there's questions as to whether the government can implement. You mentioned only 5% of the rubble removed, only a little over 60% of the, you know, money raised for and pledged for the long-term recovery has been spent. What happens now? Do you think that there will be more of the same, or do you see some shift?
It's funny, isn't it? Because if you said, what's at the top of your shopping list for Haiti, you might imagine that the answer would be clean water, a solid supply of food and so on. But actually, I think an effective constitutional and strategic government that's able to take a grip here might well be one of the things you would wish most for this country. Just one very sharp example. Very much of the Haitian government was destroyed. Many, many of the government buildings were demolished. So, for example, there is no effective land registry anymore. Now, the big emphasis is to get people out of the refugee camps. There are still touching a million people living under tarpaulins and in tents, refugees in their own country. But if you want to build those people homes, you need land. And if there is no land registry and no definitive land ownership record, then any patch of land can be subject to a number of people claiming that they own it. And of course, charities and NGOs don't have the facility to decide who is the real landowner, who they should be dealing with. So the destruction of the government, the lack of effective administration, really is crippling at the sharp end the most urgent needs of reconstruction and rebuilding here. Everyone's waiting to see, of course, what the Organization of American States monitors will say when their report on that disputed first round of the presidential election is officially published. It'll be fascinating and absolutely vital to see how the politicians and, even more importantly, the supporters in the country react to that report when it is published.
So questions about who even is the government, but also, once those resolved, who owns the land? The BBC's Hugh Williams speaking to us from Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Hugh, thanks.
Robin, it's been a pleasure.